we very humbly pray. Amen. The text for today comes from the 11th verse of that gospel lesson I just shared with you. You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased. As I said earlier in the announcements, this is the baptism of the Lord Sunday. And theologians for centuries have debated and argued why in the world was Jesus baptized. After all, John's baptism was for the repentance and the remission of sin. Did Jesus have something to repent of? And did he have sins that needed to be forgiven? And the second question that people have debated is, why should we be baptized? Why are we baptized aside from Christ's great commission when he said at the end of Matthew's gospel, in his last appearance with the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and remember, I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age. We may wonder, why should we set aside a particular Sunday to celebrate the baptism of the Lord and remember our own baptisms? Does it really make any difference? Well, I believe it does. I believe it does enough. It makes enough of a difference that I took the time to write notes to two individuals who were baptized as adults in this sanctuary over the last 6 years, inviting them to this service. But the truth be told, we already have a whole lot on our plate, a whole lot of things to worry about. Some of you may be checking the Weather Channel right now, seeing when the ice storm is supposed to be coming in. And we are in the time of year when high school seniors will begin to receive their letters of either acceptance or denial to go to the university or universities of their choice. For many of us, questions of job security linger, and more people find themselves trying to cobble together two or three jobs just to make ends meet and hoping against hope that neither they nor their family members get sick because they cannot afford or do not have any health insurance. And there is increasing polarization in our society, as we divide ourselves into red and blue, and there frankly is not enough purple to go around. And we retreat more and more into our own little cocoons and our own little echo chambers, just having our own prejudices and biases and preconceived notions confirmed and reconfirmed. And then there are some of us who have had sudden turns of health that have knocked the wind out of us and nearly knocked us off of our feet. And others of us enter into this new year still grieving the death of a loved one and wondering how in the world are they going to continue. And still others have had someone whom they love no longer love them and walk out of their life. So why all this talk about baptism? Why is it important? It is important because I believe it is connected to all of those life circumstances that I shared with you just a few moments ago. Baptism contains an element of good news, a kernel of good news that we need to hear on a daily basis. So let's go back to the two questions I started with. Why was Jesus baptized? If John's baptism was forgiveness of sins, why was Jesus baptized? Jesus, the one whom the writer of the letter of Hebrews said that we have a priest in the high order of Melchizedek, who was tempted in every way that we have been tempted, but yet did not succumb to sin or to that temptation. And immediately after his own baptism in all the Gospels, Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness, the wild place where bad things happen and people become lost. And he was led into the wilderness in order to be tempted. And yet he did not succumb to that temptation. So why did Jesus get baptized by John in the River Jordan? James F. Stewart, the Scottish theologian and preacher of an earlier day, in his little book, The Life and Teaching of Jesus Christ, I think answered the question better than anyone else in a most succinct and easy to understand way. He pointed out that all of the Gospels were written in order to point to the cross and the empty tomb. That is the culmination of the Gospel. And like a great mystery novel, we have hints along the way as to how this story is going to end. And Jesus going to the River Jordan to be baptized by John tells us that he who was born of Mary and Joseph identifies with all of us in our own brokenness. That he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, John the Baptist says in the Gospel of John. But what about the significance of baptism? David Loos, a Lutheran theologian, preacher, seminary president, I thought was very, very insightful as I studied this text. He noted that Jesus is rather passive in not only this baptism, but all the baptisms that are recorded for us in the Synoptic Gospels. But in Luke's Gospel, he is even more passive than what he is in Mark's Gospel, if that be possible. In all the Gospels, Jesus does not have to do anything at his baptism. He simply receives. First, he receives the gift of the Holy Spirit, and secondly, he receives God's favor. Now, some of you watch or follow my blog site, Glimpses of Grace, and I had many comments when I was in Scotland, and the most comments I ever had was when I wrote a piece about one of my hosts at a bed and breakfast, an Airbnb that I stayed at when I was in Edinburgh. She found out that I was a Presbyterian minister on my last night there, and I try to hide that fact because people treat me differently when they find out I'm a minister, even in Scotland, and even if I was Presbyterian. But she found out that I was a minister, and she began to tell me her story that she could not find a church in Edinburgh who would be willing to baptize her. This was a woman who was from China, is a Chinese Christian who converted to Christianity while she was in China, has a PhD from Edinburgh University, and is doing postdoctoral work, and she was quizzed by elders in more than one church as to whether or not she was worthy to be baptized. And as she told me her faith story, I thought to myself, what in the world has happened to the Church of Jesus Christ, the Church of Grace? You know, Jesus in his Great Commission said, go and make disciples. First you baptize, then you teach. It's not the other way around. You don't teach and then you baptize. That's the reason that when we baptize children, the congregation takes vows to be an example for the child, to show them what it means to be a Christian, to live a Christian life, a life worthy of example. I wonder if the modern church hasn't become too full of itself in some ways, and we're starting to repeat those ancient heresies of Arminianism and Neoplagianism when we say that you have to be worthy, that you have to earn God's love or God's respect. After all, that's definitely what the world tells us, that you have to receive love and respect the old-fashioned way, to quote an old investment commercial. You have to earn it. But Calvin and the Protestant reformers believed that baptism was the mark of a new covenant, or sometimes it's said a new testament. It is the visible sign of an invisible truth, Calvin wrote in his Institutes of the Christian Religion. And at his own baptism, Jesus heard the word of God coming out of the heavens, a word of God's love and God's acceptance that he was good and good enough. Imagine how those words must have given Jesus strength in the midst of the challenges of his life, and in them, how they had given him comfort in the time of his trials, especially the trial of Gethsemane, when he knelt down to pray on the night before his crucifixion, asking for the cup to be removed from him, and then finally having the sense of peace that Paul wrote about that passes all human understanding, and says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And while many of us, myself included, may not remember our own baptism, baptism reminds us that we are loved, not just by our families who may present us for baptism, and not just by our church family who is supposed to love us, but by God, the maker of the heavens and the earth, the creator of all that was and is and ever will be. How often do we long to hear words in our own lives of acceptance and of blessing and of forgiveness and of love? When Martin Luther was being chased by the church of his day and was facing execution in his darkest moments, in his darkest hours of the night, he would take his fingers and make the sign of the cross on his forehead and say to himself, "I have been baptized. I do not belong to myself, but I belong to another. I have been purchased. I am God's child." In our baptism, we, like Jesus, are passive recipients of God's grace, God's love, God's forgiveness. In baptism, we are reminded that we do not truly belong to ourselves, but that we belong to another. We are told and we are reminded that we are loved not because of what we can do or who we are, but rather, more importantly, because of whose we are. While others may judge us, and while we may internalize their judgment, and we may think that we aren't good enough, and that we are to be found wanting, that we are not worthy, our baptism reminds us that in the sight of God, we are enough. We are worthy. We are a child of God. And as one of the confessions of our churches says, in life and death, we belong to God. Paul, his letter to the Romans, wrote, "If we live, we live unto the Lord, and if we die unto the Lord." So that then, whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. The promise of baptism braces us for all of life's challenges. In this new year, it will give us the courage to start or end a relationship, to enter a new school, if that's what is going to be happening, to face an illness, to surmount an unseen challenge. Our baptism enables us to take a risk and to give love with no strings attached, without asking anything in return. And through all of life's adventures and misadventures, our baptism reminds us that God is Emmanuel, God with us. At the end of this worship service, as you walk out, you may pick up two items of this worship service to carry with you throughout today and this coming year. One is a little glass bauble that is on bowls of water at all of the exits of this congregation. You have to get your fingers wet and in so doing remember your own baptism vows. But whenever you have that bauble with you, may you always remember that you have been baptized, that you are God's child, that you do not belong to yourself but to another. And the other thing that you can take with you is a little prayer or Christ card. I encourage you to put it on your mirror or on your dresser, or may use it as a bookmark before you go to sleep at night. And that little Christ card is a quotation of the text of today's message. "You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased." To God be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.